The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Really has a way of throwing us some curveballs sometimes. We think we know what's coming, and then all of a sudden, it's totally different. Things change rapidly. And what we must always come to the place in our life is that we just trust God. You know what? We went this week to Logan to hear a evangelist pastor share some very unique things, but one of the really interesting things that he said that really made my ears perk up, because this is something that God has been speaking to me. He said that God has an unfulfilled desire, and that is for his people to trust him. Wow. God has been speaking to me for 2 years or more. It's just, I just hear those words. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. When I see something that just doesn't look right, God's saying, trust me. He wants you to know you can trust him this morning.
Thank you,
Father. Hallelujah. This past week, my aunt Doris passed away. She was, I think, 84 or 86 years old. When I was growing up, I was very close to her, my mother's sister. She's been in a rest home for many years now. But one of the things that takes me back when I think about her is growing up, Aunt Doris and Uncle Glenn would always, they would just go around the country and pick up kids during Bible school time. And back then, it was, you know, nobody thought anything about getting in the back of a pickup and riding along. So we had a whole pickup load of kids that was going to Bible school. They recognized the importance of impacting the next generation for Jesus Christ. And that's, you know, those are fond memories that I have of knowing that they instilled some things in me, along with my parents, that God is on the throne. No matter what happens, no matter what takes place in this world. And believe me, you can expect some things to take place in this world. We are coming to the end of this thing. Remember, God is on the throne. Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
No matter what.
Yes,
he's King.
Yes, he is.
We're going to trust him. This morning I'm going to share some things with you. I want to talk about the top five reasons to give thanks to the Lord. Now, actually, it's the top five reasons out of Psalms to give thanks to the Lord. Because I believe that David was one that constantly thanked God for his life and things that was going on in his life and what God was doing in his life. Now, of course, David didn't write all the Psalms, but many of these Psalms are contributed to David. And we're in a season of thanksgiving. Amen? And I think it behooves us to think about the things that we need to be thankful for. There is so much. I mean, just right. The fact, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I thank God that not only that I live in a country where I can come Sunday morning and worship the living God as I please, and anybody else can too, but I'm thankful that I live in this area. You know, praise the Lord that this is the place.
Amen.
It's not an accident. It's not an accident that you're here at Bethel Worship Center this morning. This is an appointed time. Not an accident you were born here or came here, whatever. It's appointed. So that means that the steps that you are taking, they really are ordered by God. Sometimes we misstep. God, I can't explain it, but he puts us back in step, even when we get out of line. He is such an awesome, almighty God. Giving him thanks is so, so very important. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." From a human standpoint, that doesn't make any sense at all. To me, that's ridiculous to say that in everything I have to give thanks. That means that when bad things happen, I still have to give thanks to God. When good things happen, it's a little easier to give thanks to God. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you took care of me, or you did this, or you did that. But I still must give thanks to God even when something negative happens. That doesn't mean that I'm thanking him for the negative. It means that I'm thanking him in the situation. In everything, give thanks. He's still worthy for us to give him thanks. So I want to go ahead and get started with this morning. And the number five, I'm going to start from five and go to number one. The number five reason to give thanks is found in Psalms chapter 18, verse 47 through 49. He delivers me from my enemies. Amen? How many are glad that he delivers us from our enemies?
Amen.
You know, that's supernatural and physical. Hallelujah, but we have to let him be in charge. He delivers us from our enemies. Here's what it says. Psalms 18, beginning with verse 47. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent men. Therefore, I will give you thanks. Give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praise to your name. You know, this word Gentiles was basically talking about unbelievers. So what the psalmist is saying here, that I'm going to give thanks in the presence of those who don't even believe in you, God, and they're going to be impacted by the power that you release and by the word of my testimony. Before our birth, to the very moment that we're going to pass from this life, I believe God's accomplishing his divine purpose in each and every one of us. We have to believe that God is in control. We have to believe that God is ordering and directing. That's why we must draw near to him, because he's going to draw near to us. And when you do that, when you draw near to the living God, you can rest assured that even when you make mistakes, God's going to right those things on your behalf. That's how much he loves you as a father. I love my children. Growing up, they got out of line sometimes. I disciplined them. And I did it for their own good. Sometimes they doubted whether it was for their own good or not. Sometimes they thought it was my good. I've always been very careful to try not to discipline my children for my good, to make me feel good or feel better about the situation. Because discipline is supposed to be the one for the one that is being disciplined, so that they become better, improve, or understand that they've done something wrong. And I love my kids. I wouldn't do anything to hurt them, my grandchildren. I love them deeply. Family is very, very important to me. Last night we had our Thanksgiving meal with all of our family, and it's just I love those times when we all come together. It's just so important to me to be able to have family around me. God, we are part of God's family. We are His children, His sons and His daughters. And yeah, He's promised that He is going to discipline us, but He's also going to embrace us. He's going to, after the discipline, he brings us back under His arms and He embraces us and He tells us how much He loves us and what He did was for our own good. We've got to embrace Him that way. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we're not careful, we might find ourselves fighting against God. Find ourselves in this category where we're resisting Him. Because He has a will, a desire, a direction for us. Particularly when we're going through hostile situations. How many can say they've gone through a situation where someone was hostile toward them? Okay. Just about everybody in here has had something. Sometimes it's members of your own family. Amen? Excuse me. But regardless, we find ourselves in a position where people are being hostile toward us. And we have a choice. We can either choose to react to their hostility in kind, or we can do what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 5:44. And that is, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those you hate, who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. You know, if it was up to me, I would take that out of the Bible. I'd get rid of that scripture and other ones that are a lot like it. Because I don't like it. My flesh says, no, no, no. I have a right to avenge myself. I have a right to get even when somebody does something wrong. My flesh just cries out constantly. You know, I grew up in a family. My grandfather was a fighter. My uncles are fighters. And, you know, when somebody did you wrong, you took care of it. That's the way you handled it. Amen. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you have Christ in your life, you have to start looking at things a little differently. You have to begin to understand. And I thank God my dad, early on, before we kids were born, my dad received Christ as personal Savior. It changed everything. It changed the way he dealt with people. I saw situations where people would take advantage of him. And he never retaliated. I know deep down inside he wanted to. He was raised that way. You're a man handles a situation. But he set an example that continues to reverberate in our family. You don't do things that way. You do things God's way. If we're not careful, we will end up receiving consequences by taking care of things our way that we never expected. Now, I was reading a little story this week about a little Korean boy. He lived in Korea, and some army soldiers from the United States was stationed there, and they rented a home, and this was after the Korean War. They had a home there, and they hired this little boy to come in, young man, to come in and work for them. He would wash their dishes. He would clean their house. He would, you know, do whatever they asked him to do. Now, these guys were a bunch of ornery young men. And I'm sure, Leland, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about in the service. Absolutely. Ornery young men. Who did some crazy things. But they just harassed this, this little guy. They would put Vaseline on the stove knobs just to make it nasty. You know, they just, you know, ornery stuff. They would nail his shoes to the floor. They would put pots of water on top of the door, and when he walked through, water would pour on him. He never said a thing to them. He would just smile and go on about his business. Finally, after months of this, these guys started feeling bad about what they were doing. So they brought him in, they set him down, and they said, "Listen, we've not been treating you very well. And we're going to change. We're not going to do that anymore." And, you know, he was a little suspicious, of course. And he said, "Okay, no more sticky on stove." "Nope, no more sticky on stove." "No more nail shoes to floor." "Nope, no more nail shoes to floor." "No more water on head." No, we're not going to do any of that stuff anymore. He got a big smile on his face, and he said, "Deal, no more spit in soup." They threw him out. It is, but my point is, he retaliated whether they knew it or not. The consequences were pretty severe for him because he lost the job that he needed. They threw him out of the house. I like the story. And my flesh says, "Go, boy, go." But we don't want to act like that. We do not want to retaliate against those who may be mistreating or may be abusing us. I mean, sometimes it's not as much abuse as we think it is. It just feels like it. We need to take a lesson from King David. He refused to retaliate against Saul. King Saul wanted to kill him. In fact, twice, at two different occasions, he tried to stick him to the wall with a spear. David was in there playing. He was doing his job, doing what God or what Saul wanted him to do, playing the harp to still the evil spirit that was rising up inside of Saul, anger. And he was doing what he was asked to do. And because Saul became jealous of David, he knew that he had been anointed king over Israel, tried to kill him. David had every right to defend himself and retaliate against King Saul, but he refused to do that. In a couple occasions, he was close enough to cut the hem of Saul's garment from him. When Saul was chasing him around in the wilderness, David got that close to him, and he refused. He said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." That's right. Wow. Now, whether a person's the Lord's anointed or not, it's not our place. "Vengeance is mine," Amen, says the Lord. Right. It's not our place. Right. Boy, you don't know how painful that is to say. I really want you to understand, that hurts. That hurts me to say, I am not supposed to retaliate. Now, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. If somebody would come to my house and threaten my family, I would defend my family. And my, that's right. You know, don't get the wrong idea here.
That's right.
But I want you to understand, somebody slaps me in the face, according to Jesus, I got to turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
This might be easy for some of you. It's difficult for me to even talk about. Hallelujah.
This
will
be okay.
When David was pleading for King Saul, he penned these words, "O Lord my God, in you I will put my trust."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
In you I will put my trust. He delivers us from our enemies. Put your trust in him. That's a reason to give God thanks this morning. He delivers us from our enemies. The fourth, I'm talking about the top five reasons. The fourth reason is his wondrous works. Psalm 75:1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. God's wondrous works are just everywhere. Look around us. Look at the trees. Look at the grass. Look at the sky. Everything is crying out that there is a creator.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's his wondrous works. This earth that we live on, it rotates on its axis at about 1,000 miles an hour. You believe we're going 1,000 miles an hour? We don't feel it, do we? It's because God has created it in such a way that it keeps a balance. That 1,000 miles an hour allows us to have our days and our nights, our seasons, everything in order the way they are. If it turned at a rate, say, 100 miles an hour, our days and nights would be 10 times as long. At night, everything would freeze up. In the summer, or in the daytime, things would burn up. God has created things. This is his wondrous works. He knows exactly what we need for life, to sustain life here on this earth. The sun's surface temperature is 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit, according to science. I know these guys are really smart, but it baffles me sometimes. How do they know that? The earth is just far enough away from the sun that the sun warms us just enough to keep a balance of life, to keep things growing so that we can have the seasons that we have. If the temperature on this earth, now listen to this, if the temperature on this earth changed just 50 degrees for a single year. Now, I know they're talking about global warming and ice ages and all these things, but if the temperature changed as much as 50 degrees for a single year, all vegetation and man with it would either be burned up or frozen. These are his wondrous works all around us. The moon, the sun, the planets, the sky, the universe, the many galaxies that he has created out there. I've heard numbers and it just baffles me of all the galaxies. It just seems like they just go on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. I believe, now this is my personal opinion, it's not biblical. So I'm going to throw this in free of charge this morning. I believe he's created those galaxies for you and me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're going to be able to go there someday. And maybe he's going to give Eddie two or three. And Pastor Rob two or three. And Otis and Ivy two or three. I don't know. I don't know how this whole thing works. But I know this. The eternity with God is going to be an endless time of learning and growing, expanding. It's going to be incredible. That's the wondrous works of our God. That's one of the reasons that we need to give thanks to him on a daily basis, because of his wondrous works. Top third reason to give God thanks is his deeds. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Psalms 105, verse 1. 107, verse 8 says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. His wonderful works. Now, basically, what I believe he's talking about here is his good things that he imparts to us as believers in Jesus Christ, or as his children. Philippians 4:19 tells us that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We sang that song this morning. I thought it was awesome. Your goodness in the land of the living, it says. We need his goodness in the land of the living. You know, awesome. Praise God. You know, someday we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to reign forever and ever. That's awesome. It's going to be so unique that we can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But I want you to know, I need his goodness here in the land of the living. And he provides. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I am amazed when I look, I see the things that God has done for us over the years. For Bethel Worship Center. For taking us out of that little country church. And it was awesome when we were there. Things were just, you know, praise God. We went to this service Thursday night in Logan. It really took me back to some memories about Bethel. Of course, back then it was South Bethel, a New Testament church. But this church that we were in, it might hold 120, maybe. Our church was a little smaller than that, probably 90 to 100. We had 100 people there at one time, and somebody came in and said, "Pastor, the walls are bulging." I went outside to see. I thought he was telling the truth. I mean, it was packed. It was exciting things that were happening then. But God had a plan that was way beyond that little church. And praise God for that church. Praise God for the, don't despise the small beginnings. Amen. It was awesome. Good things. But God, he took us from there. We knew that we couldn't stay there. He provided Tepper's Plains School for us to be able to go and have church there. Because we didn't have a facility big enough in this area. Very few. So there was a provision made. We stayed there for 1 year. And when we went there, we left that church without a debt, without having to pay anything. And we moved to a place where we had to pay $800 a month. Now, you may not think that was a big deal, but that was a huge step of faith for this congregation. $800 a month. But God never once failed us. Then after a year, he opened the door for us to go to Chester, and man, now we had to pay $1,500 a month. Not once did God fail us. Now we're in this facility. Praise God for this place. Amen. I'm thankful. It's just a building. It's a nice building. It's wonderful. I thank him every day that he's allowed us to be here. But it's just a building. You're the church. And if we'd have to go to a barn, we could still worship the living God and be thankful. Amen. But he brought us here, and now I get choked up when I think about it. Over $5,000 a month payment. Don't let anybody leave because of that. It's just the price we have to pay. God has never once let us down. I have people say to me, yeah, yes. Hallelujah. Give him praise. He's worthy to be praised. I've had people say to me, and I know Eddie mentioned this the other day, somebody asked him, how many people go to that church? Well, we have 80 to 100. You know, we want that to be greater. But when you tell people that, they say, how in the world do you pay for that? It's easy. God. That's right. That's right. That's all it can be. That's right. It's God. Amen. Amen. He never once has let us down. We've had some lean times, right, Jeannie? Yes. Praise God. Right now, those times are behind us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. We just keep trugging along here, allowing God to do His thing. And believe me, you know, as I look out in the congregation, I'd like to see every one of these chairs filled up. I believe, now I know, I realize I'm prejudiced here, but I believe Bethel Worship Center is the best place in this area to worship God. And I believe we have the best worship in the land. Amen. We have the best congregation in the land. Amen. And let me brag just a little bit. You have the best pastor in the land. I don't always feel that way. I want you to understand. Sometimes I struggle. But because of the love that I feel coming from this congregation, I stand firm. Amen. It's wonderful to give Him thanks for His deeds. Think about His deeds. Think about what He's done for your family. Think about how He provides for you. Things may not be exactly the way you want them to be, but your God is providing all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will be there for you. Recently, God prompted an anonymous donor to give this church $60,000. Hallelujah. You know? Amen. Just God. And I just want to give Him praise and glory for what He's doing, for His deeds. Thank you, God, for your deeds. Amen. Number two, His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy endures forever. Psalms 106:1. Now, this is really interesting. In the Psalms, 34 times in the Psalms, that same phrase is used in an individual psalm. His mercy endures forever. What a reason to give Him glory. What a reason to thank Him every day that His mercy endures forever. Mercy is compassion or kindness towards others. Mercy is what God has bestowed upon His people who receive Jesus as their personal Savior. His mercy coupled with His grace. God takes care of His own. But let me tell you something. We must cry out to the living God. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior here today, you need to make that commitment. Amen. Before it's too late. Amen. It could be too late today when you walk out this door. Who knows what's going to happen? But I could tell you this. I truly believe Jesus is coming back very, very soon. So knowing Him as your personal Savior is very important. You want to be saved is the terminology that we use. What it means is you're going to be rescued from hellfire. You get to live with Jesus. You get to reign with Him. You know, we'd had a men's prayer breakfast on Saturday. One of the things that Billy shared was he was talking about the Titanic. And on April the 15th in 1912, the luxury liner Titanic it was on its maiden voyage, and it hit an iceberg. At first, no one really paid any attention. After all, they touted this ship as being indestructible. They couldn't sink it. So people didn't get too upset. In fact, they believed it so much that they didn't put enough lifeboats on the ship to cover all of the passengers there. After a while, everybody began to realize that this ship was going down. Now, there were heroes that day, and, you know, history, you can go back in history and you can read some about some of the heroes who gave up their place on a lifeboat so that other people could have it. That was a hero. They gave up their life. Now, here's the interesting thing. When the families came to find out whether their loved ones were lost at sea or survived, out of all I think there was about close to 3,000 people on there, 1,500 of those people perished in that tragedy. But when people came to find out whether loved ones were lost or not, they merely had two columns. They had a column over here that said saved, and they had a column over here that said lost. And you just looked on there to find out whether your loved ones were saved or lost. That's where we are with Jesus. We're either saved because we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross so that we could have eternal life, or we reject that and we will be lost. We'll be in that category. This is lost. Eternal damnation, not a place that anybody's going to want to go. The Word of God's very clear. It's simple. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. You're in that category. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When Jesus opens it up, he's going to say, oh, yeah, Rob Barber. It's not going to say Pastor Rob. It's just going to say Rob Barber. I see here, your name is here. You are saved. Enter in, good and faithful servant. But I can't imagine standing before Almighty God on the day of the great white throne judgment, and he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. We have choices to make here, now, this time. We can be in the category of saved or the category of lost. Think about this morning. Psalms 105, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. All generations. That's how good he is. Everlasting God. His mercy is everlasting. This is a good reason to give thanks to the Lord. And the number one reason to give thanks to the Lord is found in Psalms 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. We give thanks to the Lord merely because he is who he is. He is holy. In Revelation, it says this, and the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. He's just awesome. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be thanked because he is holy. He is who he is. What a God we serve. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.